The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Fionn Davenport, good evening.
Good evening, Jonathan.
To talk about, I'm good, a place that I've never been, but anyone who has ever been there has raved about it. Anyone who's never gone there is terrified by it. Where do you sit on Cape Town?
Oh, well, so Cape Town ranks in 11th in my top 12 favourite cities in the world, which is this series that I'm doing. Now, obviously, this is a list of cities that I love. And I'm using four different criteria to determine its worth and livability, cultural vitality, diversity, openness, and a distinctive identity. And I think that Cape Town ranks very, very high in all four categories. So start with livability. Look, this is, lots of people might say, oh, Johannesburg is a wonderful place, and it absolutely is. But Cape Town just tips it for me. Big city energy, but like fresh ocean air. And then, of course, there's Table Mountain, which dominates the city. The central districts are very compact and fairly walkable during the day. And otherwise, you've got Uber, which is the sensible choice after dark. My city buses are really, really good, wheelchair accessible. They're also bicycle friendly, which I think is a really good thing. And it connects the coast right down to Hout Bay and District 6. There's a nice hop-on, hop-off service if you don't know Cape Town that does exactly what it says. I think cycling is one of the great pleasures in Cape Town. Right along the Atlantic seaboard is really, really nice. Like I mentioned Table Mountain. Like Table Mountain is just so wonderful. There's millions of trails up it, so you can get right up on top. You've got the Cape of Good Hope, which is then beyond Table Mountain. It's got beaches, coves, cliffs. The Constantia Valley has wineries. It's just fabulous. It really, really is.
Yeah, it sounds fabulous. The question that's come in from a number of listeners already is it safe? Because we've all heard the horror stories of travelling to South Africa. And while you're painting a very beautiful picture of it here, could you cycle into the wrong part and find yourself in trouble?
No. What I would say, though, is during the day, Cape Town, the city centre, is very, very safe. If you stick to BoCap or the waterfront or the central district, you're absolutely fine. You're in absolutely no danger at all. After dark, though, that's an entirely different question. And as I said, I think you wouldn't want to be wandering around on your own. You're better off taking Uber. Cape Town is, by African standards, a safe city, but you definitely have to take some precautions. I don't want to over exaggerate or overemphasize the danger element, because I think it puts people off unnecessarily. But I think if you take the appropriate precautions, Cape Town is a wonderful experience.
Yeah. From a cultural perspective as well, Fionn, there's a huge amount of history.
Yeah, a huge amount of history. More recently, you had like a grand parade where Nelson Mandela, he gave his first public speech as a free man in 1990. 100,000 people gathered there. City Hall still has his statue and a marvellous exhibition. Just around the corner, the Desmond and Leah Tutu Truth to Power exhibition, which honours the Archbishop's Nobel-winning activism. The District 6 Museum. Now, this is a remarkable museum. It pulls no punches in highlighting the sorrow of a community that was uprooted during apartheid. And particularly, you've got former residents as guides. BoCap is kind of the Cap Malay. It's really beautiful, coloured houses, cobble streets and Table Mountain views. You've got, so BoCap literally means Upper Cape. And it began as a garrison in the 18th century for soldiers. But it really is, people from Malaysia, Indonesia and elsewhere began to settle. So it's predominantly Cape Muslim these days. I mentioned the V&A waterfront, which is very touristy, but it's still not an uninteresting place. Robben Island, Jonathan. Robben Island, absolutely essential. It's an extraordinary place, and I would travel halfway around the world just to go see it again. When you go, and you need to book in advance because it is very popular, you get to see the lime quarry where the prisoners did the hard labor. You get to see the small house where Robert Sobukwe, who's the leader of the Pan-African Congress, he was held in solitary confinement in this tiny place for 6 years. And perhaps most famously, most movingly of all, you get to see Nelson Mandela's tiny cell. And indeed, like with the District 6 Museum, some of the guides are former inmates. And so you get this really highly personal viewpoint of what life was like for the prisoners. It is remarkable. And you really want to give like a full half day to a visit here.
This is a place that in our lifetime, Fionn, has seen some of the most appalling oppression, has seen this terrible division. How much of that is there and how open a city is it as a result of that? You'd understand the local population not being too keen on Europeans coming down there, perhaps with opinions of what should or should not
be there. Yes, and I think South Africans are understandably guarded around their recent history and certainly don't want guys like you and me dictating this is how it was. But you're absolutely right. South Africa has a very, very tortured past. Cape Town is representative of what a vision of the future would be like. But there are still friction points. You have the townships are still very much in evidence, although township tours, and you have to be careful about which ones you pick, are an extraordinary insight into township life, which is predominantly Black African. Bo-Kaap, I mentioned earlier on, you get to see all of the different cultural influences, particularly non-African. So people, as I said, arrive from Malaysia, Indonesia. It's a Muslim community, but it also intermingles with African, European heritage. It really is. And you've got these wonderful, colourful houses. Really, really beautiful. You've got I think if you go out to the township, and particularly if you engage in tours where all of the funds are reinvested in the townships, then you get some incredible experiences. And it's not patronizing at all. They're driven by people who come from the townships and are looking to make money for the townships. And I think something like that is a very good insight into the cultural diversity that Cape Town has to offer.
And you talk about distinctive identity. I mean, from what you describe and from what I know of the city, I mean, it doesn't get more distinctive. Literally, the nature's backdrop makes it stand out on its own.
You're absolutely right in that. And as I said, look, everything starts and ends with Table Mountain, but it's also beyond Table Mountain. So it defines the skyline. But then you've got Boulder's Beach, where you have waddling penguins. And that's not far from the city centre. Simonstown, you've got like naval history and shark diving. You've got the Cape Floral Kingdom, which blooms right across the Cape of Good Hope, which is down kind of that little sliver that goes literally at the tip of Africa. I mentioned Bo-Kaap again. Wine is part of the culture. So if you go to Constantia, the Grand Constance, like this is extraordinary stuff, like amazing wines, markets, museums, food tradition, all very Cape Town. And look, there's this incredible blend of nature, culture and community spirit that makes Cape Town, for me, one of the great, great cities of the world.
Okay. It very much deserves to be on the list. Fionn Davenport of The Lonely Planet, thank you as always. We will talk to you again next week, sir.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.